Awesome. This morning I'm going to be talking about the life of David and some different things that I pulled out of that that I thought were very important characteristics. The story of David has always been very interesting to me. David was He was a king, he was a writer, a musician, but he was also an adulterer, he was a murderer, and a very violent man, but yet he was called a man after God's heart. I would like to start out by just reading a couple verses from 1 Samuel 13. We're going to be reading verses 13 and 14. This is the first reference to David and the background for these verses was Saul was going to war and he had disobeyed God by offering a burnt offering to God himself instead of waiting for Samuel. So here Samuel's talking to Saul, telling him of his punishment. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So here, David is called a man after God's heart. David is the only man that gets this title in the Bible. He was also referred to this in the Acts. Paul refers to him as this, and David has the most references other than any other of any other man in the Bible other than Jesus. He also has the most chapters dedicated to him. We're told the Messiah will come from his bloodline. So David was a very significant person that God used in many ways. So why was David chosen? We don't really know why he was chosen to fill these positions, but I think it's safe to say that although he made a lot of mistakes, we think of Bathsheba later on when he was king. He wasn't even close to perfect, but his heart was after God. And there's many things you see throughout the story of David here that prove that. So I would like to look at four ways that David lived his life. And we're going to look at each one individually. The first one is humility. The second is complete trust in God. The third one is respect for authority. And the last one is desire to know and to do God's will. So let's begin with the first one here with humility. David, when he is first mentioned in the Bible as a shepherd boy, he had a very humble beginning. He was the youngest of a large family, or at least the youngest boy. I don't think it says whether he had any other sisters, but his job was to watch the sheep. David went on a little later in his life, and Israel was at war with the Philistines, and he went and he killed Goliath, and he was then famous in Israel. We read of them returning after killing the Philistines, chasing them down. And they're singing about David killing 10,000, Saul killing thousands. So David probably could have pushed for something more then, but he was content with his job. He kept taking care of his sheep and filling that position. In fact, even after David was anointed king by Samuel, he was found out taking care of the sheep. Let's just read that account. It's in 1 Samuel 16. We'll be reading 17 through 20. 1 Samuel 16, 17 through 20. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in manners, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. David was content to fill those places. He wasn't pushing for something more. He was the anointed king of Israel at that point. He was taking care of the sheep. Later on, we see David, when he sinned, he was repenting. He didn't harden his heart. He understood that God, not him, was in control, and that's something that a lot of the other kings that came after him seemed to forget as soon as they came into power. So do we repent in the areas we fail, and are we content with the positions that we hold? Let's move on to our second one, complete trust in God. We all know the story of David and Goliath. David trusted God there. He understood that in his own strength, he could not go up against Goliath. When he was talking to Saul and trying to convince him to let him go fight Goliath, he talks about killing the bear and killing the lion, but his argument isn't that he killed the bear himself, that he could kill a lion, so he's strong enough to kill Goliath. Instead, it was that God was with him, that God was able to do it. 1 Samuel 17, if we move to 32 through 37, I'm going to read that. And David said to Saul, No man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. So David understood that it wasn't him going up against Goliath, but it was God. He completely trusted God. He didn't just say he did, but he put his life on the line. Other things, we're not fully trusting God, and it's easy to say that we trust God, but are there things that we hold back? Some things we can say we trust God in, but are there things that we think that we can control better than God? Give those things to God, because he doesn't make mistakes, you do. Let's move on to our third point, is respect for authority. David, multiple times as he was running from Saul, he had the chance to kill him, but he didn't. He had so much respect for God's anointed that he was willing to run for years and live outside and always be worried about getting killed instead of just killing Saul. 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 12, let's read that. And it came to pass, when Saul's returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave, and went on his way. David also arose afterward, and went out of the cave, and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth, and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen, how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. Another place we can see David's respect for who God had put in place is 2 Samuel chapter 1. Read the first 17 verses. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, with his clothes rent, and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to Saul that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people are also fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As it happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called upon me. And I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me. For my anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and brought them hither unto my lord. Then David took hold on his clothes, and he rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even, for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. David knew here that with Saul's death, he was the rightful king, he was the anointed king, and he could have gone back home and claimed that position, but we don't see him doing that. We see him humbling himself before his men. He was weeping, he was fasting. He wasn't rushing to get that position of power and authority that he could have. He spent years running from Saul, and this was his response to his death. David had a respect for authority. He had a respect for God and who God put in place. Do we have a heart of respect like David? Let's move on to the fourth and our final point. That is desire to know God's will. David wanted to do what God had for him. many times through David's life, we see him asking God, what should I do? Let's read one of those accounts. 1 Samuel 23. We'll read first 14 verses. 1 Samuel 23. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah and besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. We see David asking God, what should I do? And he asked with an honest heart. He was willing to do what God asked him to do. It's easy to run into a difficult situation like David did here and say, God, what should I do? I don't know what to do here. And then it's something that we didn't want to do, and we just picked the easier route. But here we see David not picking what was easy, not doing what his men wanted to do, but doing what he knew God wanted him to do. His men and him were on the run. It didn't really make sense for them to go fight someone else's battles, but David did it anyways. Especially ones that are loyal to your enemies. David went down and saved these people, and they turned him right over to Saul, or they would have turned him right over to Saul. David wanted to please God. He wanted to know God's heart. Do we do what's easy, or do we do what pleases others, or do we really want to know what God has for us? So, in closing here, David was humble. He trusted God. He respected the authority that God put in place, and he desired to know the will of God. These things, I believe, were very important in making David a man after God's heart. And he did make big mistakes in his life, but I think his response to those was right. He humbled himself, even as king of Israel, and repented. So that should be an encouragement to us that David would repent and make right choices, and he was called a man after God's heart even later on. So these are some good things that I think they're good for us to shoot for, but the thing about each one of these, they're going to require sacrifice. It's going to require giving up our pride, giving up our reliance on ourselves, submitting to others, giving up our will. But my encouragement, I guess, today is that we work on just that and try to be people that desire to know God's heart and be humble and do what he wants for us. So let's close with prayer here. Thank you, God, that we can gather together here. And thank you for the beautiful day that you have given us. Lord, thank you for your word and the many things that we can learn from it, the many examples and stories there are in there. Thank you for the story of King David, Lord, and the many things that we can take from that. Lord, I just pray that you will be with us as we go from here. I pray that you will help us to humble ourselves and to want your will, Lord, instead of our will, to not put our trust in other things, but to completely trust in you. Lord, I pray that you will be with us here for the remainder of the service, and just pray that we could all pay attention and take something home. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.